Praise God. Well, we've been in a series called How Faith Comes, and these are Bible lessons we take from Brother Hagin. It was a Bible faith study course. You guys could buy that if you want. It's a big blue book, and go through it. But we go through some of these and just take our time and stick on what we need to stick on. And, you know, as I was going over this, we need to hear these things. We have it set up this way, we believe, just by the direction of the Lord for this church. You know, not everybody does the same thing. But for us, we preach on faith, preach and teach on faith and healing on Wednesdays. And I'm telling you, you can't ever hear too much about faith. And if you think you know it, you think, no. Just going back over these just fundamental truths and hearing and getting it solid, you're in a different place. And you keep growing. I keep looking and I go, wow, that is so good. And yeah, we all need a reminder, because you're maybe going through something today and you need a reminder of what faith is and how does it come and how do you operate? Because if you're strong in faith, you can take on anything.
Yes.
There's a lot of, you know, and it just how things work. And oh yeah, I need to be doing that. You know, in sports, I played soccer. You try to do all kinds of fancy stuff. You know, there's a lot of trick stuff that you can do on the streets. They don't work in a game. Not when you got another guy coming down on you. Now, I just talk about soccer because I know soccer. Some other sports I didn't play. Know a little bit about them. I played baseball, you know, and tennis. But soccer I played. I'm telling you can do it at home and do certain things, but unless you get it up very full speed, you will not be able to do it in the game. You may impress your friends and think, ooh, look at this. This is a cool thing. But man, you got some guy charging at you that's big and fast, and he's trying to take the ball away from you, and you try to be fancy, he'll just take it away and go right down past you. And, you know, there's stuff that people are trying to, well, you know, I know this little, you know, corner of the Bible, and, you know, I and try to impress people with their knowledge, and a lot of that we all can fall into. It's just pride. But what about the stuff that works in the trenches when you're going through life? That's the stuff that we need to know, and you need to be strong there, because you can do all this fancy stuff when the sun is shining, whatever, but when stuff's bearing down on you, what are you going to do? And what are you going to use? You need to have the mechanics and the basics down cold. And when we get this idea, well, I know certain things, I'm passive, I want this, you know, esoteric stuff out here. I'm not saying there isn't some good truth in it, but if we don't have the basics, and I've seen a lot of it where people think, I know all this, but in the basics, they're weak. And they get crushed. I would rather know, I'm not saying you can't know other things, but don't move on until you can execute. And we're all growing and learning, and it's just at a higher level. How many of you know? I mean, you can run the same thing, but at a higher level and do it a lot better. Right? So I'm excited. I mean, and it's, I tell you what, I like preaching on Wednesdays on faith. I get a lot out of it. I mean, it pumps me up. And I'm ready, you know, it's just when I don't, sometimes it's like, wow, what didn't I do? I didn't preach. You think I'd just be giving out? Well, yeah, it does. There's a yielding, and it can take stuff out of you when you have the anointing on. If you've never done it, it's different. When you're done, it's not like, oh, that was just you. It does physically tax you, because you have the anointing on you, the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit in a different way, and it does do something to you over time, but spiritually builds you up. And but anyway, let's get into this. How faith comes, we're just going to continue on. This is a little bit different bent, though. Why don't you turn over to Hebrews 11:1. You know, celebrating the anniversary this weekend, it's nice to have all you here and preach to you. Because when I started, we didn't have this many people. It was like I was preaching to Brianna. That was it. You know, a few different people in and out, but for the majority of a year, I was preaching like this. So I appreciate you guys. You think, well, this, you know, it's going to keep growing, but hey, I appreciate it. It's an honor and a privilege. It's fun. It is. I like preaching. I like teaching God. Brother Hagin, they said, you know, I think Brother Hagin was quoting somebody when he said it, but he said, I'd rather have the Spirit of God on me just for a few seconds, a few minutes, than almost anything else. Hebrews 11, verse 1, it's just our honor and a privilege to do what we do for Him and let Him minister. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, in my Bible, this word substance has a little one next to it. The word evidence has a little two next to it. Anybody else have anything like that? What does yours say? You have a spirit life.
Same Bible.
Yeah. So anybody else have a
reality?
Reality?
For substance,
the reality. Anybody have something different?
Confirmation.
The confirmation?
Realizing confidence.
The title.
For one, it says confidence, or two?
For substance, it says confidence.
Really?
Realization,
that's what mine says. So mine says realization. And what that word there, when it says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the word substance, like you see here, it says mine says realization, it's like a foundation. It's the thing that sets under is what it means. And if you had confidence is for evidence as well, but you could say confidence, it's what's undergirding. That's what it means here. So when you see now faith is the substance can be a little blind to us, I think. What does that mean? You know, but when you say now faith is the foundation, faith is what's undergirding the things hoped for. Hope is a little blind to us too, because we use hope in a different way than it's used here. Hope. How do we use hope? Tell me, give me, somebody use it in a sentence how we normally use hope. Huh?
Wish.
Use it in a sentence. Somebody say.
I hope we have a chocolate for dinner.
I hope you get chocolate. Do you really? Hope you get chocolate for dinner. Yeah. That's right. I hope I get something. That means I wish I get something. I sure hope so. That's not what this word means, and we've talked about this before, but here, the word hope, it doesn't mean wish. The word hope means confident expectation. When you talk about hope in the Bible, if you'll just replace it with a confident expectation, it will help you. Because hope, when we read it, we think, oh, you know, I have this hope. That means I have this wish. It means it may not happen to us. But when you see it in the Bible, there's no wishing about it. When you see hope, it means I'm confident it's going to happen. It means I'm expecting it to happen. You know, we use the word expecting when a woman is with child, she's expecting. Does that mean, well, I hope I have a baby?
No.
Huh?
No, she's.
Is there any doubt?
No.
I mean, as far as that, she's on track to have a baby?
No.
She's pretty sure. I've lived with a woman that has had four of them. There was never any doubt. That's all I'm going to say about that. I get in trouble. Now, she was a good pregnant lady, I have to say. She was. She wasn't hard to live with at all. She was very good. But there wasn't any doubt that we were having a baby. You know that thing called nesting? That's real. You guys know what I'm talking about? When women start going and start moving stuff around, and if the baby room isn't done, they're doing it, and that's because the baby's coming. I've seen that a few times. I can attest, that's not a myth. But there was never any doubt that she was having a baby. That she was expecting. That means come about this time, the baby's going to come. And I tell you, Julia was the one that was a little late. And that was our fourth one. It's supposed to go the other way. And so by that time, just telling Shelly, but this isn't like anything big. We talk about this. By that time, the other ones, Brianna, she started labor right on her due date. She started later on her due date, but had the baby. Like, she started Saturday night was her due date, and he had baby 2:32 a.m. Monday morning. So it was a long deal. I don't remember the relation of the due date with Andrew and Christina to when they were actually born. I do know Andrew came really fast. I think I just told you guys that a little bit ago. It was like they came in at, or I was telling somebody. Somebody said, I was talking about it. I think it was a guy at work. But we went to a doctor's appointment Monday afternoon, and we got back, I don't know, 4 o'clock or whatever, and he had just checked around and was like, well, you know, you're getting there. It'll be, you know, maybe next week or so. And we get home, and it's not that long. And Shelly comes and like, I'm feeling it. And I was like, whatever, you know. We just got back from the doctor, you know. It'll be all right. And because the day before, on Sunday morning, like really early, she had thought she was going in, and so I was up all night and doing stuff. So this is the next day, and I'm like, no. And Andrew was bored 10 o'clock that night, 10:04. So he came quick. Anyway, then there was, I don't remember Christina, but the point I was making was Julia, she thought Julia was going to come early. And Julia came late, so she thought she was actually going to come early, and then she came late, so that by the time Julia came, she was really ready for that baby to be out. She was expecting, and she was now, okay, let's get this thing over with. But my point is, there was not a doubt. If the baby was coming, it was when. But she was not hoping for a baby, like wishing. It was like, the baby's here, now we need to get on with the program with Julia. So what does this say here? Now, faith is the confidence, it's the undergirding, it's the foundation of things expected. Confidently expected. That you believe it's coming. So if you believe something's coming, what is the undergirding why you would think it was coming? Faith. Why are you expecting? Because you believe something. Follow me? That's exactly what it's saying. It says, now faith is the foundation of things you hope for, of things you expect. You don't just expect anything. Why do you expect it? Because you have faith, and we're talking about Bible faith, which would be faith in God's Word. It says, the evidence of things not seen. Now that word evidence, see the margin of my Bible, says confidence. It's the confidence of things not seen. Anybody have a different word for evidence in your Bible?
Assurance.
Proof. The what? Proof.
Title deed.
The title deed.
Realization.
So all those go together. The title deed, the assurance, the proof of things not seen. What is that? Faith. Faith is the proof. It's the assurance. It's the evidence. The title deed of things not seen. So you can't see it, but you expect it. And you believe it. Why? Because you have faith. And where do you get faith from? From hearing God's Word. So why would you expect something that you can't see? Why would you be confident of things that you are expecting in the future? It goes all the way back to God said something. If you are expecting or thinking you're expecting, hoping for something in a, you know, wishing way of something, but you can't trace it back to God's Word, then you're not in faith. Just making something up. You have to be able to bring it back to God's Word. That's the reason you're believing. Believing is faith, is because faith, we're talking about how faith comes, but this is a little bit talking about what faith is so that we can make some points here. Faith comes when you hear the Word of God. But you don't necessarily see what is promised when you hear it. Faith comes, but then you have to act on your faith to get to the place where it's seen. Faith is the confidence, is the undergirding, is the title deed of things you can't see, of things that you would expect. Faith comes by the Word of God. So why would you expect something you can't see? It's got to go back to God's Word. If you're thinking, I don't see it, so I don't believe it anymore, then your believing was never on God's Word, it was on your sight. And this is where a lot of people are. You see why? This does not get old. You can think, I understand this, and you start walking out, and you could understand a certain level, but you come back, and it's like you go in slow-mo. Okay, and this is what you need to do. If something doesn't seem like it's quote-unquote working, you need to check up on your believing. Don't start checking God's side. Lillian B. Yeomans used to say this, if something doesn't look like it's working, if I'm not receiving, I don't see the manifestation of something, I don't see what I believe God's Word teaches, I don't start checking on God's side, I start looking to see if I need to make an adjustment. And when you start going through and say, okay, this is what faith is, and especially if you're asking the question, where is it? A lot of times what's happened is you've gotten your eyes on the natural, and so you're waiting to see it before you believe it. You'll believe it when you see it, and that's not faith, because faith is the evidence of things not seen. And it can be as simple as this. You go, oh, okay, yes, you could be like, where is it? Where is it, God? But you realize, wait a minute, I'm supposed to believe it when I don't see it. And the reason I believe it is because God said it. I don't care what it looks like. And when we cross that line, then stuff starts moving. That's what Bible faith is. Bible faith is believing with your heart. Everybody has natural human faith. You know, if you can believe naturally, but believing Bible faith is believing the Bible, is believing God's Word. And there's a vast difference between believing with your heart and just believing with your physical senses. You just believe something because you kind of saw something somewhere, and now you believe something may happen again. That's not Bible faith. Just because you saw somebody do something. See, you can't believe in healing because you saw somebody get healed. You can't believe for healing if you saw somebody. You can't say, okay, now I'm convinced God's real, I'll believe for healing. You can't do that. You're going to believe who for what? Tell me where healing comes from. It comes from God. You say, oh, it can just be natural. Let me ask you a question. Who created your body? Doesn't your body heal itself?
Yes.
Where did that come from? See, it's not that mystical. God put a portion of that healing power in us. That's why if you cut your hand, it doesn't stay there for 10 years, if everything is working properly, right?
Yep.
It's gone. It heals up. I mean, I have a scar here. You can't see it, but that's a good thing. You can't see it from that distance, but it's right here. Cut myself with a knife when I was, 17, 18, 19. I was working in a house for my dad and working, doing trim. And it's, utility knife slipped and just went right through my finger, and I had to go in and get stitches. But guess what?
It works.
It's all healed up. It's got, the flesh isn't perfect. You can see a little bit of the scar, but it's healed. Well, that's God's power that He deposited in us. Well, what's divine healing? Just speed that up. You get enough of God's power, just can happen instead of weeks, it can happen in days. Instead of days, it could happen in seconds or milliseconds. That's just amping up the power. You don't think God can make all this stuff come back together? Jesus did it in the garden. Do you know the man that got his ear cut off? There it is. It's the same thing. It's just amped up. Son of God. In that time, the anointing, it obviously wasn't the guy's faith. He's just like, what? He's an enemy. He just got his ear cut off by one of the disciples. You know, Peter's going just, Peter's a fisherman. He's not a soldier, you know. I don't think he was probably aiming for the ear. I think he was probably aiming for the center of his head and just hit the ear. Because he's not, you know, he's used to a fishing rod, not a knife. A sword. But he cut off his ear, and then his ear's healed. Well, that's mystical. Well, it's just the same thing. How was the universe created? God spoke it, and boom, 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 and stuff started happening. God, see, this stuff is not hard to believe when you believe in God that is powerful. It's like, well, that's impossible. Not for a God that is the Almighty. It's just not even hard to believe. People go, think they get all these deep questions. Well, if do you know God? That'd be like saying to an NBA player, I mean, you're looking up at the 10-foot rim. I cannot dunk a basketball without a, you know, trampoline. You know, and you, somebody could look up at it. I mean, you know, you go to certain people. You know, you go to different people in the world that aren't real tall. You know, like Filipinos, when I went over, in general, are not that tall. Well, they make it look up unless, you know, certain people have super high vertical. Say, that's impossible. Not to somebody that's, you know, 6'9" and got 3-foot vertical. No, it's not that big of a deal. Well, some people go, this is impossible. How could the Bible say all this stuff happened? If you saw God, you'd be like, oh, okay. That makes perfect sense. I get it. Well, we're going to see, you know, he is the Almighty. He's the God that is, he's amazing. How did I get off on all that? Where was I? But believing in your heart versus what your senses may tell you. But what did I go off on that? Huh?
You don't get faith by seeing. That was the end of my hearing.
Oh, we were talking about the healing. Yep. I got that. I was talking about the healing. Usually don't lose. I usually just pick up right back up, but no, but we said that, you know, like healing.
We have to do something.
Yep. Praise God. Why did we mention healing? I said like healing. That's right. Thank you. That's what I went. You don't believe in healing because you see it. Because you saw somebody get healed. You can't go and believe God for healing. And that's what I said. Where does healing come from? And that's when we said that healing is deposited in you. And so you don't believe just, I believe in healing. You believe in, great, I believe in healing. Look at my finger. What are you talking about? You're talking about I believe in divine healing. Well, divine, what does that mean? It means of God. So who are you believing for healing? God. Well, then what did God say? Why would you believe for healing? Well, I saw so-and-so get healed. Well, who's going to heal you? That person? No. Who's going to heal you?
God.
He already has provided healing, don't get me wrong, but what power is going to be in manifestation that's going to make you whole? It's God's power. Why would he heal you? Why would that flow? Well, because the other person got healed. No, you can't. That'd be like, you know, I gave Brianna $10 and you said, I'm going to get $10. Why would I give you $10? Did I tell you? No, really. Let's say I gave Astrid $10. Ooh, I saw Astrid get $10. You know, Pastor Jim gave Astrid $10, so I get $10. Really? Why would you think that? Why would you think that? Well, because I want $10. Okay. So? Don't say it's $100. You guys are like $10. Say it's $1,000, you know? Well, I saw, you know, gave Astrid $1,000. Well, I should get it. Why? I believe in the giving of $1,000 because I saw somebody get it. That's the same thing as people say, I believe in healing because I saw so-and-so get healed, so I'm going to believe. You're going to believe what? You're going to believe who for what? If Bible faith is you're going to believe God in what he promised. That's what it is. So how does faith come? It's when you hear what God said about something, and that's with your heart. See, it's not with your physical senses, because you might hear something and you say, your physical senses say, I don't know how that's going to happen. The doctor said this. Okay, well, where's that coming? See, the doctor said this, so I don't understand. You don't what? I don't understand. Well, where's that coming from? Do you understand God? Do you understand the resurrection? Do you understand the new birth? Do you understand the virgin birth with your head? Don't have to. It's with your heart. The Bible says with the heart one man believes. So where Bible faith is believing what God said, regardless of what you see, regardless of what you feel. Anything you believe, if it's Bible faith, will go back to what God said. If you start bringing it back to anything but what God said, when you say you're in faith, you're not in Bible faith. You might just have to throw stuff away. Say, I wasn't in faith. It can answer a lot of questions. We're just in the intro of this. I mean, this is the continuation of what we're doing, but now going a little bit different vein. How are we doing? Oh, got to wrap up. But there's a big difference between believing with your heart and believing what your physical senses may tell you. Bible faith is laying hold of the unseen realm of what is expected, what could be, and bringing it in to the realm of reality. What God promised, if you believe it, then faith brings it here. Now, as long as we focus on what we see, then, and we act on that. See, if you act on what you can see and understand, you'll be limited. Amen. You'll be limited. You know, we're talking, I don't want to go into it, but just touch on it, since we're celebrating, you know, our anniversary. If I were going by what I saw when we moved out here, I wouldn't have kept going, because I didn't know any of you. I only knew you. Shelly's mom. And she didn't live here. But I didn't know any of you. Of course, I knew Brianna too. But faith is the evidence of things not seen. And we had to bring that. That came from a word from God. It's not in the Bible, but we had a word that we believed to come to Andover and start a church. Well, we've gone back to that. Over and over. What did you tell us? Because by your senses, there's nothing. You're not. If you go by senses, there's nothing to go on. So we're talking about how faith comes. We need to know what faith is. It comes, and we're going to get. Then you got to act on it. You have to act like it's true. When we say, "Oh, it's here," but you know, I got to see it, and then I'll believe it. We got it backwards, and it will not work. Because we are holding the seen realm over God's word. Faith comes by his word, and it's got to be acted on based on his word. And that's how it becomes tangible. That's how you get here. And some people are saying, well, I got faith. I just don't know. I want that, but I don't see it. You have it backwards. You believe it's there. See, faith is the evidence of what you don't see. When you don't see anything, you say, God said it, so it's true. I don't care what I see. That is what propels you to where you see it. If you wait till you see it, it's too late to believe it. That's not when you start believing. That's when you have it and you know it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. Praise God. God is so good. There is no more sure foundation than his word.
Amen.
Your sight is not the most sure foundation. Anybody found that out?
Yes.
Just go to an amusement park. They can trick your sight real easy. Anybody ever heard of an optical illusion? You can't trust everything you see. You can't bank on it. Your feelings? You can't trust your feelings. Anybody ever done this thing where you have a pen? I'm finishing. A pen or a pencil, and you cross your fingers and you put, if you close your eyes and you put the pen or pencil right in the middle, it feels like there's two of them. Because your fingers are used to, if I feel something on this side and this side, those two things can't be the same thing. If you cross them and put them there, well, you can't trust what you feel. Your feelings can be tricked. Do you realize your feelings can be flat wrong and contradicting what God said, and your answer can be right around the corner? If you go by feelings, you'll quit.
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah, I better quit.